Okay, I know we have a class full of good cooks in here. I don't have to wonder about that one. I know all of you have certain recipes that you love to serve your family. As mothers, you've learned the foods that your children look for when they come to eat with you at your home. Neil is always talking about his grandmother. She was the cook. And he says all he can remember about her is her being in her kitchen cooking all day long, it seemed. She was in that kitchen cooking. She loved cooking for her family. And I came from a big family, and my grandmother loved to cook too. She loved making jams and jellies and canning and freezing vegetables. She was a baker and loved baking cakes at Christmas time. I've told you before, I think, my grandmother didn't buy much from a grocery store. They killed hogs, cows, and chickens, or fished and hunted for the meat. And their vegetables were grown in their garden. We had fresh milk from the cows, and my grandmother made fresh butter and buttermilk. That's right. So you can imagine my family loved to eat. I came from a hard-working family. There was too much to do to be lazy. So as a result, come supper time, everyone would be hungry. And you could be certain there would be a good meal on the table come supper time. Now my grandmother and mama are gone, and I don't have the privilege to go home and eat their meals anymore, and I sure do miss it. My grandmother, I loved her boiled potatoes so much. Every afternoon when I got home from school, I would always go out to Mama Howard's and visit with her a little bit. She would always have me some boiled potatoes sitting on the stove to snack on. Isn't that something? That's what I loved to snack on. They were so good. And I'm sure all of us have those special memories of our grandmothers, our mothers, and their cooking. And I know that your own children and grandchildren have those special memories of your cooking. There's nothing quite like that physical hunger for our favorite foods that tie our families together. But I want to ask you, do we have a spiritual hunger for God's Word? Like we hunger for those favorite foods of our grandmothers used to cook for us? In all sincerity, I have to be honest with you this morning. As far as reading the Bible, outside of church when I'm at home, I've never been very solid and regular. I just want to pour my heart out to you this morning. I can't stand here and tell you something that's not true. Now, I may go through seasons where I will read the Bible every day. After I was saved and through my teenage years, I was somewhat pretty regular to read my Bible every night before I went to bed. My Bible sat on my nightstand. And before I went to sleep, I would pick it up and read it. At some point, I just got busy with life, and I failed to pick it up on a daily basis. Through the years, I might go through periods where I would be more faithful to read. Then it seems history just repeats itself. I do pray for spiritual hunger. And I want to ask you ladies to pray for me. Pray for me today. I've even prayed that God would replace my physical hunger with spiritual hunger, and that I will be faithful to read His Word and comprehend His Word daily. You know, the Bible is precious, more precious than any food we might remember our grandmother making for us. Yet we can become so familiar with it that we lose sight of how precious it is. We may even read it daily and hear it talked about weekly in worship. But do we realize how truly blessed we are to hold Scripture in our hands? For hundreds of years, many believers lack that privilege. Think how many Bibles you have in your home. And for many, many years, no one had any Bibles in their home. It wasn't a privilege. There's a danger that exists with familiarity. We can become so accustomed to handling God's Word that we lose awareness of not only what a privilege it is to have easy access to God's Word, but we may also lose awareness of the awesomeness of God who is revealed in His Word. So turn with me to Nehemiah chapter 8. We're going to begin reading with verses 1 and 2. Now all the people gathered together as one man in the open square that was in front of the water gate. And they told Ezra the scribe to bring the book of the law of Moses, which the Lord had commanded Israel. So Ezra the priest brought the law before the assembly of men and women and all who could hear with understanding on the first day of the seventh month. You know, when people begin to express a deep hunger for God's Word, you know that genuine revival isn't far behind. This was the case when all the people of Jerusalem gathered together near the water gate. They had experienced God's providential care on their behalf. So they asked Ezra to bring the book of the law of Moses. They recognized the scriptures as being the word that the Lord had given to Israel. Ezra was the scribe, so he was a teacher of the word. It was a title of honor and an acknowledgement of his knowledge of God's law. While Nehemiah had led the people in reclaiming the security of the holy city, building the gate around the city, Ezra could guide them in understanding God's holy word. The people all shared a common desire for the word of God. Their hunger was for a word from the Lord, and it brought them to the square in front of the water gate. It was a large open area. There were men, women, children who were old enough to listen with understanding, and they waited patiently to hear the word. Interestingly, at this point, Ezra is identified as the priest, in addition to his previous role as scribe or teacher. Ezra bridged the twin roles of priest and teacher. He brought God to the people and the people to God through the scriptures. Verse 3. Then he read from it in the open square that was in front of the water gate, from morning until midday before the men and women and those who could understand. And the ears of all the people were attentive to the book of the law. Well, my material said that an average worship gathering in America usually lasts about an hour to maybe an hour and a half. I'd say our service runs about an hour. We've had some preachers in the past who would get really excited about the Word of God, and they may tend to go over a little bit. But look what happened here in the Scripture. The people were so hungry for God's Word. They stood there for 6 hours. 6 hours. From daybreak until noon, as Ezra read from the Torah, or the book of the law. Nehemiah described the men, the women, and those who could understand, referring to older children and young people. Now the phrase, all the people, emphasizes the people's unified response as they listened attentively. They were not merely sitting through a service. They eagerly absorbed what they heard. They hung on every word. As believers, shouldn't we desire to hear God's word on a regular basis? Not only in congregational worship gatherings, but also in our own homes. In other places where we hear Bible studies, shouldn't we be eager to learn God's Word? As Christians, we should take advantage of the availability of God's Word to us today. We should carry it in our hearts so that we're eager to read it, hear it discussed, and live it out each and every day. Verses 4 and 5. So Ezra the scribe stood on a platform of wood which they had made for the purpose. And beside him at his right hand stood Mattathiah, Shema, Ananiah, Uriah, Hilkiah, and Mishael. And at his left hand, Padiah, Mishael, Malchiah, Hashem, Hashbadana, Zechariah, and Mishalem. Okay, the area in front of the water gate had a raised wooden platform. I've often wondered, they didn't have sound systems back then. So I've often wondered, how could all these people gather and hear what was being said? Well, we have our answer right here.
I added up the numbers that they said, and all total it came out to 49,942 people that were standing there.
Isn't that amazing? Isn't that amazing? So the speaker was elevated high up, and the people were down, so they could hear every word. God took care of it. He provided, allowing everyone present to hear the reading of scriptures. The people were deliberate in their desire to hear God's word. They all wanted to understand God's word for themselves. Ezra's referred to the scribe again to highlight his role in teaching the word of God. But Ezra didn't stand alone. There were 6 community leaders who stood on his right, and there were 7 who stood on his left. The presence of those leaders tells us the importance of this gathering. Ezra's actions were in full view of all the people. He wanted everyone to see that he was reading from the scriptures. The public reading of God's word should be a solemn occasion denoting respect and attention. All the people stood in unison all across that area with their eyes fixed on the word of God when Ezra opened the scroll. Verse 6. And Ezra blessed the Lord, the great God. Then all the people answered, Amen, Amen, while lifting up their hands. And they bowed their heads and worshiped the Lord with their faces to the ground. Wouldn't you just love to be at that service? To see them so excited over God's word. Seeing the response of the people to God's word caused Ezra to praise the Lord. I can just almost imagine it must have been overwhelming for Ezra emotionally to witness what was happening there. But his main focus was not on the people, but on the Lord God himself. The term here is Yahweh or Jehovah, which holds special meaning for the Jewish people. Their God was the Lord, the great God. He was and is to be exalted above everything. So in a spontaneous act of worship, the people responded. They lifted up their hands and declared, Amen, Amen, which means so be it. Or that's the truth. Saying it twice emphasized their affirmation. All the people were unified in their response. Just imagine the sight of thousands of people,
49,942,
raising their hands before the Lord and shouting, Amen. So having lifted up their hands and their voices to the Lord, the people then bowed. They humbly bowed and worshiped God with their faces to the ground. This portrayed their humility before God. When we are confronted with the presence of the Most High God, our reaction today should be that same reverential respect and worship. Verses 7 and 8. Also, Jeshua, Benaiah, Sherebiah, Jamin, Akkub, Sabbathai, Hodijah, Messiah, Kalida, Azariah, Yozabad, Hanan, Peliah, and the Levites helped the people to understand the law, and the people stood in their place. So they read distinctly from the book in the law of God, and they gave the sense and helped them to understand the reading. So these were the Levites. There were 13 leaders who stood in support of Ezra on the platform, and they were matched by 13 Levites. And the Levites were stationed throughout the crowd. They were the ones who assisted the priest and the people in worship. They also contributed to helping the people understand the Word of God. Now keep in mind that the people, young, old, no matter, stood during the entire six-hour reading, showing a strong commitment to hear everything that was being said. They remained in their places. They didn't move about or become fidgety as the hours passed. This shows that when we develop a hunger for God's Word, nothing else matters. Understanding more about God takes priority over all other needs. The Levites were there to help Ezra help the people understand what was being read. The average person had limited understanding of scriptures back then, particularly having been through a long period of neglect of the word. A lot of them had grown up in exile in foreign lands and was forced to learn and speak other languages other than Hebrew. So the Levites took the time to translate God's word to the people. It's my opinion that preachers and teachers of the gospel today must do more than offer mere personal opinions on topics of interest, but must preach and expound on God's word. Verse 9. And Nehemiah, who was the governor, Ezra the priest and scribe, and the Levites who taught the people, said to all the people, "This day is holy to the Lord your God. Do not mourn or weep," for all the people wept when they heard the words of the law. So as the people heard God's word and understood, they responded with weeping. Have you ever been reading God's word and just become so overwhelmed by the scriptures' impact that you start weeping? I know I sure have. It may be conviction of the Holy Spirit when we're confronted with our sinfulness. It may be a strong emotion of love and adoration for God, because we hear or read of his amazing love for us. So Nehemiah was present when this reading was going on, and he supported Ezra's role as a spiritual teacher. These two men and the Levites urged the people not to mourn. Don't weep. There's a time for mourning. But this was a time for joy and celebration of God's great restoring. They reminded the people that this day was holy to the Lord. And that had been set up back in Leviticus chapter 23. I'm going to read Leviticus 23, verse 24. "Speak to the children of Israel, saying, in the seventh month, on the first day of the month, you shall have a Sabbath rest, a memorial of blowing of trumpets, a holy convocation, a celebration." God had appointed the first day of the seventh month as the day of joy and celebration. Verses 10 and 11. "Then he said to them, go your way, eat the fat, drink the sweet, and send portions to those for whom nothing is prepared. For this day is holy to our Lord. Do not sorrow, for the joy of the Lord is your strength." So the Levites quieted all the people, saying, "Be still, for the day is holy. Do not be grieved. So Nehemiah instructed the people to go home. They'd been standing in the sun for several hours. He wanted them to go to their homes and celebrate in their neighborhoods. Can't you just picture this? Just everybody spilling into the street, celebrating. They were to feast on the rich blessings of God's provision. Nehemiah also reminded the people to be aware of the needs of their neighbors. Gratitude for God's blessings should motivate us to share with others. God's people are to be a loving and sharing community. We should take every opportunity to share with those in need. Nehemiah emphasized that the joy of the Lord is his strength. Their greatest fortress was not the rebuilt city with the restored wall, but rather the Lord himself. The Levites helped Nehemiah and Ezra as they encouraged the people and quieted those who had become emotionally overwrought, repeating the reason why they should not grieve. The day is holy. Certainly, some days of worship include mourning over our sin, our sorrow, even sickness. But this day was set aside for joy in the Lord. Verse 12. And all the people went their way to eat and drink, to send portions and rejoice greatly, because they understood the words that were declared to them. All the people went home. They celebrated by beginning to eat and drink. You know, this reminds me of an old-fashioned Southern Baptist homecoming. Remember those? A true fellowship meal where everyone loved just being among each other because the Lord's presence was there. The Lord's presence was there. There was something to celebrate. And the people sent some of their food and drink to the neighbors who were poor. The focus of the Jews' celebration was in gratitude for God's word. They loved God's word. They had a new appreciation and a deeper understanding of the scriptures. The people of Jerusalem had heard and understood God's word, so they celebrated. They acted on their new knowledge with godly sorrow and repentance. Repentance, which turned into a joyous celebration of God's forgiveness and blessing. Ladies, let's make it a priority to appreciate God's word. Let's develop a spiritual hunger for God's word. No matter what goes on around us that we may not agree with, that we may get frustrated with, let's keep our focus on God himself and worship him with joy and celebration. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I just praise you so much for your word today, Lord, and its truth, and how it teaches us and molds us into the people of God that you have created us to be. Lord, we praise you and we lift you up today. We know, Father, that you are the God of Israel, the only true living God. Lord, I just pray that our hearts will be humble before you today as we worship you in spirit and in truth. Lord, we just pray for each one here today. I lift them up, Lord, and just ask your blessings be poured over them. Lord, I pray for those who can't be here. Lord, you know the reason. We lift them up and just know, Lord, and trust that you are taking care of them. Father, we just thank you now for the opportunity to come into your house and study your word and hear your word, Lord. Lord, we give this time to you, and you alone may you be glorified. For it's in Christ Jesus' name I pray. Amen.